just to let you know. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at this idea of forgiveness, who me, and I entitled it that way, or titled it that way, because sometimes we get in this thing, what? You want me to forgive them? You don't understand what they have done to me. And so this idea is a great importance for you and I, is this area of forgiveness. You say, well, why is that? Well, because what God has done for us, He has forgiven us. And so I think sometimes that we have kind of looked at this area of forgiveness just as some little bypass kind of thing, and we don't really have a good understanding of what forgiveness is. And sure, we have a mental assent that Christ forgave us, and we asked us to be forgiven for our sins, but the truth is we don't really have a deep understanding of that. And so that's henceforth why I believe that we need to look at this. So we started a couple weeks ago a Bible study, and I've entitled it Questions Concerning Forgiveness. And I think the first question that I asked and answered was simply this: why should I go to that one? Why should I go to that one that I've offended, or who I've offended, who has offended me? Clearly, just as a way of review, because God commands us to. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, for those that have been offended. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, for one who we have offended and we're commanded to go against. So God commands us to go. Number two, it becomes a matter of obedience. Psalm 66 and verse number 18 says this word: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so I want you to understand that it's very important for you and I to have a clear matter between us and the Lord as we go about our daily tasks. Number three, we should go because the danger of church discipline. We made mention that it's easier to repent at the very lowest level. We talked about how in the book of Matthew, it walks us through church discipline several weeks ago, so we're not going to get into the details of that, but suffice to say, it's easiest to repent at the very lowest level. You know, just take care of between you and that person. It shouldn't be the pastor has to grab two deacons and go, and then they fail you to repent, and they come back. So I believe that dangerous church discipline. Then we ask the second question: when should I go? When should I go to that one? Well, Jesus described it as a very urgent situation in Matthew 5. He said this: first be reconciled. So at this point, Jesus considered it to be a very, very urgent matter, one that even would supersede our worship, even according to Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Then it brought us down to where I want to start out tonight for the next couple of minutes, ask this question: what do we think as an urgent situation? Jesus said that we ought to take care of this. It's an urgent matter. So what is an urgent matter? And I would like us to think maybe it's things that would cause us just to call 911. Maybe such as the fire, maybe an accident, or someone's life is in danger. I believe that Jesus would not want us to give this issue of forgiveness in that same category, in that same urgency. He says, don't delay. Don't let it burn for a little while, then go attack it. He says, as soon as you recognize as the need to go to someone, go and take care of it as well. You might remember in the late 1980s, there was a docudrama on television that was called Rescue 911. Anybody remember that? Rescue 911. That was a good show. And my youngest son, Steve, and I would like to watch that. It was hosted by William Shatner, and it featured the reenactments and occasionally some real footage of emergencies that involved people calling 911. I can remember watching it back then and liking it. And you know, I thought about it. It's funny how we're kind of attracted to someone else's tragedy. Now, we feel for them, but we're drawn to that. We're attracted to that. You say, oh, not me. But let me ask you this question. How many of you, upon hearing of an ambulance or fire truck going down the road of your house, open up your front door, peer out the windows, look and see what's going on? I know. I've been there, done that. Miss Diana, she's not past her to get in a car in her pajamas, you know, with a coat on, and drive down the road and see what's going on. In fact, one time she did it. She came back and she said, I just spaced his name. The bus driver that drives on the Christmas route for us, Henry. What? Yeah, he said, Brother Banks' house is on fire. I'm like, what? That's not, it's only like a block and a half away. I go down there. I wouldn't have known that if she wouldn't have went. But it's funny how we're attracted sometimes to other people's tragedies. Not that we want it to happen, but you know, we're just attracted to that. So can you imagine this happening on that show, Rescue 911? And we find Mr. Shatner says, our last segment showed two mountain climbers rescued from a dangerous cliff where they almost lost their lives. But after the break, we're going to have a real emergency. A husband has sinned against his wife and is going to race home from the place he was and ask for forgiveness. Can you imagine something like that happen? But I'm telling you, that's what we need to do. This time of forgiveness, this place of forgiveness, we ought to have that kind of urgency. And I wonder sometimes if seeking forgiveness when we're sinned as urgent to us as it is to God. And I think sometimes in my own personal life, and say I commit a sin of omission or commission, and I know that I do it, but you know what? Do I always, right then, when I recognize it as sin, fall on my knees and say, oh God, forgive me? I don't see it as God sees it. I don't see it as Rescue 911 sees it, as an urgent operation needs to take place. But Jesus sees it as that. He says it's urgent. He said, go to them immediately. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verses 30 and 31, we find these words, for this cause many are sick, weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would get these words, judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. So the Lord makes it clear that some are sick and even some are dead because they refuse to judge themselves. And I know that in the context is speaking on the matter of receiving the Lord's Supper or communion. Perhaps it's true in other areas of our life as well. I want you to understand this matter of forgiveness is an urgent matter and we should not delay. So the first question is, why should I go? The second question is, when should I go? Immediately, it's an urgent matter. Notice the third question. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 51 and verse 4. Psalm 51 and verse number 4. When someone finds that, or someone be willing to read that? Psalm 51 and verse number 4. All right, Brian, thank you. All right, when you read this this verse through, you might get a wrong impression. What might the wrong impression be of David if you're looking at David's life in this verse? If you read it just topically, you might get a wrong impression. What do you think that wrong impression is, Brian? His sin was just against God. And that's true. Since David killed Uriah and committed adultery with Bathsheba, we have this question. Why does David say that he only committed this sin against God? And I personally believe this is because David initially could only see the depth of his sin initially was against God. But we believe later on that he began to understand the depth of his sin was not only against God, but against Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, writes this, the sin that was considered as an offense against God now appeared to him so enormous and so aggravated that for the moment he lost sight of it considered in any other of its bearings. And he continues on. He says, we are not to suppose that David did not believe and notice that he had done wrong to people or that he had offended against human laws and against the well-being of society. His crime against Uriah and his family was of the deepest and the most aggravated character. But still, this offense derived its chief heinousness from the fact that it was a violation of God's law. And I think one of the reasons why we don't ask forgiveness so quickly and as often as we should is because we don't view our sin as primarily an offense against God. We see it as an offense against my brother Scott or against his wife or against Pastor James and his wife. But it's more than that. It's an offense against God himself. I'm sure, and I believe, because I know from studying David in his life, that he dealt with others. But first, he saw it as a sin against God. I think there's a similar passage to this. It gives us an understanding, and that's in Luke 15 and dealing with the prodigal son. You don't have to turn there, but it says in verse number 18, the prodigal son says, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, get these words, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You see, he understood, the prodigal son, that his sin was not only against his father, but it was against his heavenly father. And I think first and foremost, we need to understand that our sin is against a righteous and holy God. And if we'll have that understanding, believe me, we'll be motivated and quickly go to this area of forgiveness in our life. Well, why should I go? When should I go? What about Psalm 51 and verse 4 with David? Then notice, fourthly, what about the sins of our heart? If I were to ask you to define the sins of the heart, how would you answer that? What is a sin of the heart? Shannon. Pardon me? A wrong thought, yes. Great. Anybody want to expand on that? Right, something, a wrong thought, something you might think on but you don't act on. Yes, anything else? Anybody want to have any more sin? I mean sin. Sorry, we have enough sin, we don't need any more sin. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, praise the Lord. All right, I define the sin of the heart as something like this. A sin of the heart is one that was committed in my mind, but your mind, you could put your name in there, but didn't really result in additional act of sin. So I thought about it, like I thought, boy, I'm going to steal this box from Sharon Baptist Church and take it home. I thought about it, but I dismissed it and put it out. That is a sin of the heart. Examples could be lust. You lust after someone, some person, something. How about this? Covetousness, would that be a sin of the heart? How about anger, not expressed, but just held inside you? That's a sin of the heart. How about bitterness, or even as we look in our context of unforgiveness? We only need to ask forgiveness when there has been a breach in the relationship. We only have to go to a person and ask for forgiveness when there's been a breach in that relationship. And that word breach is defined as an act of breaking or failing to observe a law, an agreement, or a normal code of conduct for a group of people. So to put it in other words, we're only to seek forgiveness when the other person knows you have sinned against them. So don't go to someone with this, please forgive me because last night I thought you were a dirty rat. Listen, you don't have to go to them. They don't know that you have sinned against them. It's between you and God. It's a sin of the heart. So you go and ask God for forgiveness. But obviously, if those sinful thoughts lead to a sinful action, then we must. Now, if you're thinking, well, he's a dirty rat, and because he's a dirty rat, you're going to go soap his windows at midnight at his car because he's a dirty rat. Listen, then you need to go to that person and say, I sinned against you. I thought in my thought life you're a dirty rat. It led me to go soap your windows in your car, and would you please forgive me for that? And most of the time, sinful thoughts, if we allow them to stir and be maintained deep in our mind, will go to sinful acts. So I want to help you. If you have a sinful thought come into your mind, listen, put it out. Put it out immediately. Get up and move. Go do something else. And if you're watching TV and sinful thoughts come to your mind, turn it off. Go outside. Go mow your grass. I don't know what you're going to do. Go out soul winning. That would be a good way to get your mind back on the right thought. But really, what I'm trying to tell you is just get up and do something about it. Most of the time, they do lead to that. But you're still only asking forgiveness for the act of what you did, not the thought that you did. The thought is what leads you to the act. You don't ask forgiveness for the thought. You ask forgiveness for the act. Let me help you. Sometimes what you don't know can really hurt you. And we must learn to separate between heart sins that the other person obviously does not know anything about, but also unknown sinful acts that will affect our relationship with the unknowing person. A sinful act must always be cleared up. You cannot cover it up. You can't hide it. You can't put it away. You can't say, well, they don't know it was me. No, you have to go and take care of it. There's a difference in my thinking that you're a dirty rat and telling someone else that you are a dirty rat. Again, let me illustrate it to you this way. Maybe it will help you. I say back in the day, and back in the day means when I had a 32 waist and I only weighed 100 and some odd pounds that the Air Force really liked me at, and my hair was brown and blue-eyed and no glasses. And really, if you asked Diana, she would tell you that wasn't hard to look at, amen. I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying a lot of years have gone by since those days. Some of you know what I'm talking about, amen. But listen, I embrace who I am now. I thank the Lord. You know, He made me what I am, and I appreciate that. But one day, a young believer in the Lord, and she also was young aged, in her early 20s, had a husband and a wife. I mean, had a husband and a couple children. She didn't have a wife, no. But you never know nowadays. But she had a husband and at least one child at the time. His name was Coleman. He was a real terror. But she went forward during the invitation time, and I was just a church member, and went forward, and I saw her praying, and our altars are like here. Most of the time, there's a few people up there praying, speaking to their heart. And afterwards, she came back to my wife, and she said, she always called Diana Mrs. Carroll out of respect for her, because she's only maybe 8 years older than she was, but she was more between the Lord than she was. And she said, Mrs. Carroll, can I speak to you after everyone gets out of the church? And she said, sure. So Diana stayed back by, and there was this lady, and she said, Diana, I want to tell you, I have to ask you to forgive me for something. And Diana's like, well, I didn't, you know, I don't know anything that you offended me. I'm not mad at you, and I'm not sure what you're really talking about. And she says, well, here's the truth. Last Friday night when your husband was preaching at the Young Pastors Fellowship, our pastor would give, you know, 10 guys, you know, 20 minutes, you know, time to preach on Friday nights at the church. And really it was a time of fellowship, and we bring food and eat and hear preaching. And he'd give us opportunity to grow in the Lord in our preaching. He said, when your husband was up there preaching, and every time he's in the pulpit, I lust after him. And I want you to forgive me for that. And really, you know what? I thought, I don't know how Diana didn't lay her flat out on the floor with a big punch, because normally that's what it would have been. But Diana just exhibited the grace of God that I ever known. But what I'm trying to say is, that's the kind of sin that you ask God to forgive, and you don't have to ask the other person. Now, if she acted on that and came and maybe, you know, flirted with me or something like that, that's a whole different story. But see, sometimes, let me just help you, in our piousness and sometimes in our wanting to be right with God, we have to make forgiveness more than what it ought to be. And if it's just in your thought life, listen, you don't have to go to the person and confess that to him. Listen, you confess it to God. Amen. Well, let's be done with this. Lastly, how do we ask for forgiveness? Number one, state clearly what you did wrong. Don't beat around the bush. If you have to go to someone, just tell them, listen, this is what I did. Don't give the background 30-minute story how to get there. Just tell them clearly what you did wrong. And then let me help you. I've been here before. People come to ask me for forgiveness, and they don't beat around the bush, but they never get around to asking me forgiveness. They tell them what they did, and they go away, and we shake hands, or we hug as brothers, but they never really ask for forgiveness, all right? So ask for forgiveness. And number three, use simple, factual terms. You know, you don't have to use big Bible words of what you did or didn't do, some fancy lawyer words. Just speak plain English to them. Say, you know what, this is what I did, and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me for that? Use simple terms. Don't destroy good words with the wrong attitude. You know, sometimes, boy, and I don't know if this ever happened to me, but I might have been the one doing this. I go to someone, and I go to them. I know that I have sinned against them. I go to make it right, but I still have an attitude. You know, I still have some attitude back in my mind. And so while I ask them to be forgiven, I believe they probably walked away and say, what in the world? He didn't ask me. He didn't really mean that. You've been there and done that? It's like, let me give you an example. Your children does something, and you say, you tell Pastor Dave you're sorry for that. And they look up, sorry. Like they're really sorry, right? No, but at least they're learning that they should ask for forgiveness. You see, that's the way we are sometimes. Don't be that way. And then lastly, don't attach excuses to the confession. Been here and done this before. We say, I am so sorry, Scott. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm speaking clear words. I'm asking for your forgiveness. But then you say, but they made me so mad, and they told me about you, I just had to come do this. Oh, my goodness, you just blew it. It's not really forgiveness being offered there if you offer it with excuse and attitude. Don't go with attitude. Don't go with excuse. You have no excuse. Please forgive me for what I did when I pulled that dirty trick on you. No matter what happened or somebody else did to you, it's no excuse for what you did. We often use that. Why wouldn't they did that if they wouldn't have did that to me? It doesn't matter what they did to you. You made a conscious choice to sin against someone. Don't blame your sin on somebody else, because I can tell you what, God does not do that, Amo. I don't even think God takes in effect the catalyst of the other person that caused you to sin. They answer to God for themselves, you answer to God for yourself. Well, here in our text, and then we'll move on to our ministry, short ministry meeting. Proverbs 28:13 says this: "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth to forsake of them shall have mercy." Understand this, that we serve a God who is a God of forgiveness. So I guess the question is, have you experienced that forgiveness today? Have you placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Do you know the joy of having your sins forgiven? I probably believe most of you here have done that, but if not, we give you an opportunity to do that tonight. And how about this? How about understanding as a born-again believer, because forgiveness is so important to God, it should be important to you and I as His children as well. You and I need to be constantly growing in this area of forgiveness. And God commands us to be forgiving people. Are you practicing in this area of forgiveness? Let's pray.